in, and for today's video, I thought it was time that we made some more slime. You guys really enjoy my slime videos, and I really love making them because slime is just one of the most fun things in the world to make and to play with.
You've just heard from Gillian Bauer. She's a popular Australian slimer on YouTube, if you hadn't seen her there. Tens of thousands of followers watch her squish, pull, prod this homemade goo. It's new to me, but it's a big thing out there, so it might not be new to you. Yes, you've heard right. Slime making and selling is the latest fad taking off online. Kids can earn fame and actually real money from it as well. Dr. Crystal Abedin joins us. She's a digital anthropologist at the National University of Singapore and an internet junkie to talk about what's going on with slime. Crystal, welcome to the program. Have you tried your hands at making slime yet?
Hi, Patricia. No, thankfully not yet, but I am very aware of a very long history of such slime making and slime videos being so-called satisfying on the internet.
Okay, I'm trying to be polite about it, but what is this all about? Like, I don't get it.
Right, so before we get to the slime making craze, if we backtrack just a few months, we probably might be aware that there was a series of mindfulness therapeutic videos that young people would watch on the internet. These included anything from, say, popping glitter into water, watching lava lamps, watching paint dry and mix, all the way to squishing slime and watching the tactility and the texture of it mix. So people used to be watching these videos as part of mindfulness on the internet. A lot of commentators said it was very therapeutic just to watch these mundane things being wobbled and touched on screen.
Okay, so it's now become a trend. People are making it, but it's also perhaps a dangerous trend, and that's because of one of the ingredients people are using. Talk to me about borax and the dangers there.
Right, so things like homemade videos and recipes like that are a bit off the cuff because the people who are sharing this information are using mainly accessible homemade products. Now, these are different from off-the-shelf kits you can buy in stores, where the shops have the responsibility to make sure that consumers are not harmed. If they are just tutorial videos put out on social media, the onus really is on the viewer themselves to decide whether or not they want to engage in these recipes with the ingredients that are listed.
So there are dangers, but there's a broader thing here where kids can gain fame and make money from appearing on platforms such as YouTube. So some of these young slimers are making serious money from selling these creations online. What do you make of that?
Right. So I think what's happening here is with the rise of internet culture, and especially on social media platforms where things like likes, comments, and shares are the new marks of success, we are now shifting into a culture of visibility matrix. So instead of having an authoritarian stamp from an authority or a figure who has tried and tested something, we are now turning to a herd mentality with mass affirmation as the placeholder or a peer endorsement for validating an activity.
Trends taking off on social media is a phenomenon that won't go away anytime soon. So, you know, it's not even worth talking about it because I think that horse has bolted. So what can parents do to make sure that kids are safe when engaging with these platforms, when they're following these influencers, these people on YouTube and getting, you know, obsessed with the latest thing, including this slime thing I'm getting my head around?
Right. So I think most parents' immediate concern might be to want to restrict access or control how their children view the internet. And that is understandable. However, I don't think this is very viable. It's also probably not very functional, considering that increasingly young cohorts of young people are going to get even more unrestricted and direct access to such content. So instead of trying to control this and filter this down, what we really should be doing is equipping these children and young people with digital literacies. This means teaching them how to discern information on the internet. It requires a whole different set of skills from, say, viewing content on print media or through mainstream media. So, for example, what is the language of satire, of parody? How can we identify spam? How can we corroborate when we see a document that's viral but has no good sources? So we do need to teach young children who are now encountering the internet things like cross-referencing and verification native to the internet as well as in other media sources.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Crystal. It's a really fascinating conversation. We've just scratched the surface there of the slime. That's Dr. Crystal Abbedon. She's a digital anthropologist at the National University of Singapore and quite obviously an internet junkie.